broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman and Kurt Cosby live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use. No doubt starts, or I should say continues now. This, my fellow Americans, is the broadcast for July 13th in the year of our Lord, 2016, hour 2 of 2. The goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country. On your radio, the traditions of our founding fathers. The checks and balances, brilliant. The supreme law of the land, the solution. Welcome to Liberty Roundtable Live. All right, I got to tell you about three cops. Oh, by the way, Kurt Cosby's with me. Welcome, sir.
Buenos dias. Greetings and salutations. Howdy, howdy, howdy. Thank you, Sam.
Let's talk about cops. You know, there's two schools of thought in America. One is the defend the cop school. And these people want to defend the cops at all costs. The guys in blue are awesome. Always love them. It's great. Blue Lives Matter. This is great stuff. And then there's the guys that hate the cops. They're like, hey, man, the blue plague, this is horrible. Cops are evil. They're always ready to kill you. And I submit to you that both ideas are bogus, Kurt.
Yeah,
both extremes are bogus. The reality is in the middle somewhere that, you know what, there's a lot of good cops. There's a lot of good people. And cops, I would submit, are mostly good. Now, they've been sold a bill of goods themselves to a great degree. They've been duped, many of them. In other words, let's say, for example, giving tickets and quotas. Now, you could blame that on a cop that does that, and I think the cops should stand up against it and stop it. But what I'm telling you is it's the system. How much of it is the cop versus the system that the cop, you know, finds themselves in? How much of it is the military versus the person that's in the military? How much is it Congress versus the person in Congress? And at what point when you jump into something as a, quote, rookie, is what they call it if you're a cop, or a freshman if you're somehow in government, or the military, you're, what do they call that in the military, Kurt, a grunt? All right, anyway, if okay. No matter what status you're at, at what point when you're there do you say, well, golly, I want to just kind of not talk too much. I want to listen. I don't want to act like I know. I'm new here. I want to learn. And then what point later when you come out the other end with all the training and all the manipulation and all the education, so-called, that you get, etc., you come out the other end and you say, man, I'm a quota-writing cop. I'm going to write tickets to quotas. I'm going to, well, not really realize my oath of office to obey the Constitution. I'm going to fall for the tactics that are used. Whether that be in a police force, whether it be in the military, whether it be in congressional representative or a senator, whatever, at what point do you say falling to that status quo or standard of low or whatever word you want to use to describe the systems, at what point do you say that's a personal responsibility versus the system? And it's hard for me to answer that question because I'll give you an example. Former Sheriff Richard Mack started out as a rookie cop, started giving tickets to quotas, started running around and doing all that the system told him to do. Now, thank heavens he had an epiphany. He woke up and said, whoa, wait a minute, what's going on here? But it was because he attended a constitutional class. The instructor was Cleon Skousen, the 2,000-year leap guy. No, I mean, the 4,000-year leap guy, right? Okay, but then a guy in the back stood up and asked some questions to Richard Mack that got him really on his track of thinking to say, hey, who am I? What am I doing? What have I committed to? What? Well, what if Richard Mack hadn't had that opportunity, that epiphany, that circumstantial reality that brought him to the knowledge of the truth and to then have his conscience pricked to take action? I bring that up because what about my life, your life? Where are you at? See, I was a young kid and a teenager and realized that I could get on disability as a blind person, and I took some Social Security, regretted it once I came to the knowledge of reality and never taken it since. Okay, but the problem is we grow up in these systems. See, I went to government school my whole life, right? And so did most of you. I know you can't help it. I get it. But the point that I'm trying to drive is how many of these people are really bad people? And that's why I say that, you know what, calling the cops the blue plague, they're evil, that is bogus. Most cops, most people are good people. Most people, when given the opportunity and the environment to do the right thing, do the right thing. I'll give you an example. Most people are not thieves. Most people don't steal. And most people wouldn't steal under the right circumstances. The reason you have lockers in a locker room, for instance, is not because you want to stop the criminal. The criminal will just break the locker and take whatever they want anyway. It's not like it's a big, hardcore safe or anything. It's just a little locker that can be picked pretty easily. But it helps the honest stay honest. It's like, well, I wouldn't take anything anyway, but if it's locked up, it's just a good, smart security thing. It helps people do the right thing, right? That's the mode we ought to be in. I think most people mean to do the right thing. The reason I bring this all up is because I want to talk about three cops. The first two cops are chilling out at a, I don't know if you know about these restaurants, Kurt, but they're called, it's called an Eaton Park restaurant. You ever been to one of those, Kurt? Eaton Park. You know, an apostrophe, Eaton Park?
Well, I've been to ones where you pull in and then they come to your door or your window.
Yeah, and maybe that's what they mean. I don't know. I'm just saying they say at an Eaton Park restaurant. Now, I don't know if that's a name of a restaurant or if they're just kind of meaning that you pull up and park. But these guys were inside, is the point, at tables.
Oh, okay. All right.
And that's kind of what's confusing me because when you say Eaton Park, I agree with what you're saying. It's like they come out on roller skates or whatever. That was kind of the old diner version, you know, but your point's well taken. But in this case, these guys are chilling, these cops. And they were in Homestead, Pennsylvania, Kurt, and they were at a table.
Yes.
Here's what happened. I guess a couple comes in, and the waitress just sits the couple right by the cops because it was the next open table, Kurt. Pretty logical stuff. No racial intent or anything going on. Just, you know. Well, the dude looks over, sees the cops, and he says, "Hey, man, I ain't sitting here. I don't even have to do with these cops." Now, I don't know who's black or white here, Kurt, or anything. I don't even care, and I don't even know if color has anything to do with this.
Yeah.
I'm just telling
you. It's not Officer White or Officer Black.
No, sir. Their names aren't involved here. Their color's not involved here. I don't even know. I'm just telling you that the guy walked in. He said, "Hey, man, I ain't sitting by those cops, by the blue plague. I ain't doing that." Right?
Yeah.
Well, the cops went, "Wow, man. Sir, it's okay. You can sit here, man. We won't harm you. We don't mean any harm. We're not trying to, you know, we're just chilling. We're just eating, man." But the couple refused and went to the other side of the restaurant and sat down. And well, the one cop looks over the other cop, man, and he's like, "Hey, I think we ought to do something radical." You know what I mean? Cops are getting crazy, Kurt. I'm serious. And here's what he says to the other cop. He says, "Hey, I think we got to pay those guys tab, man." The other guy says, "Really? I was thinking the same thing." So they flag over the waitress and they say, "Hey, man, see that couple over there that wouldn't sit by us? Yeah? Pay their bill." All right. They did, Kurt.
Wow.
They got her done. So while dining at an Eat and Park restaurant, in Homestead, Pennsylvania, the police officers encountered a couple that refused to sit by them to eat, so the officers paid the couple's tab. Now, what do you think of that, Kurt?
Yeah, they won't cover this, Sam, will they?
No, they need to, because what we need to do is we need to generate a pay-it-forward idea.
That's right. That's right.
That couple needs to go now and pay it forward and, you know, maybe buy somebody else's meal or do something else kind for somebody. Just run around with these random acts of kindness and stuff like that. So in this case, the moral of the story is the cops didn't shoot anybody, Kurt. They just bought them dinner.
Yep.
After, in my opinion, a pretty hostile insult was, you know, to say I won't even sit by you. It's one thing to say, you know what, I don't really think the cops are good guys, but I'm going to keep it to myself and just not, you know, smile at them and hang out with them, just kind of do my own thing. It's another to literally say, "I won't sit by you guys," and get up and move to the other part of the restaurant, right? No, I don't think the cops were really looking for a big old story. They didn't know Liberty Roundtable was going to pick this up and talk about it or anything like that. I just think they're genuinely going, man, we don't mean any harm to this guy. I don't know what his problem is. But see, the media has driven this wedge, in my opinion, Kurt.
Yeah.
I don't know if the guy's black and he hates cops because he's black and the cops are white. I don't know if he just hates cops because he's seen these shootings going on and he feels disenfranchised. I mean, I don't know what's at the heart of all this. What I do know, though, is to hold two innocent police officers, because they're police officers, in hostility, whether they've done something or not. Let me explain. This is important. Then I'll tell you about another cop. I do know the next cop I'll tell you about is black, though, because the mainstream press made sure that I knew that.
As a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
Hello everyone, James Edwards here. Are you sick and tired of liberals and race hustlers and the media calling you a racist just because you oppose Obama's policies? Well, my friend, those days are over. After you read Racism Schmacism, you'll never again fear being called the R word. I invite you to discover why every conservative in America needs a copy of my explosive new book. Racism Schmacism has received much critical acclaim and will equip you with the key to unlock their socio-political nuclear bomb once and for all. Order your copy today by visiting the official website of the Political Cesspool radio program, thepoliticalcesspool.org. Proceeds of each sale go to help keeping our award-winning show on the air, and they make great gifts for your conservative friend or family member. Buy Racism Schmacism today at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org.
Promoting God, family, and country. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Radio.
All right, so I don't know the personal situation of this couple or this man in the couple that refused to sit next to the cops. I don't know if it's media driven. I don't know if it's personally driven through experience. But I know this. The prejudging by this couple or this man, because the girl was there from what I understand, but she just went along with her beau kind of a thing, or her husband. I don't know who it was. But anyway, and he prejudged the cops and says, man, I ain't sitting by you people. And to me, this is the problem in our society today. Just because somebody has a police uniform on, you're going to assume they're a thug? They're like the blue plague. They're your enemy? So much so that you won't even decently sit by them. I mean, you don't even have to talk to them. You can just smile and say, hey, guys, and whatever, do your own thing. You know, it's not, I'm not, you're not being asked to endorse them or be involved with them or anything. Just, like, share the planet with them, you know? And then, why are we prejudging? And I don't care if it's the cops. I don't care if it's the military. I don't care if it's a black person. I don't care if it's a white person. I don't care if it's a Republican. I don't care if it's a Democrat. I don't care if it's a man or a woman or even somebody who isn't sure what they are. Okay, why are we prejudging to the point of hostility to our, quote, fellow travelers or to our brothers and sisters is how I would look at it. Okay, that's the problem. That's the problem big time. And the solution is to have a general Christian kindness about oneself as to give people at least enough of benefit of the doubt to be decent. Okay? You don't have to like the cops. You don't have to agree with them. But you can just sit down and say, hey, guys, and ignore them, and or not even talk to them for that matter. I mean, I go to a restaurant oftentimes. I don't talk to the people at the next table, really. And I might if somebody bumps a chair or there's a reason to. Or if there's an opening to do so, I'm a pretty talkative guy. I'm willing to. I'm just saying there's no obligation to do that. You can be polite and just smile and not say anything and just do your own thing. But why this hostility? And the reason that I bring up the media is because I believe that their continued focus on the divide causes most of this. Now, I realize that personal circumstance may have something to do with this and everything else, but the cops in this case, they didn't do anything. They just ate their dinner and bought those guys a meal. And said, you know what, we don't mean any harm. We're just, like, trying to do our own thing, you know? Just trying to exist, if that makes sense. Now, they paid the couple's tab, right? There's no scandal here. There's no racial there's nothing here in my mind except for good. The cops made an effort to say, hey, I know there's some negative views here. We are not responsible for those, but at the same time, we acknowledge they exist, and we would like to apologize and do something kind. Do something nice. And it reminds me of the story that I tell all the time where my daughter got a ticket for speeding, and she was mad, and later, I encouraged my daughter to help this same police officer that gave her the ticket, help him get a tire changed for his vehicle, and he was so appreciative that we were involved in kind acts that he actually destroyed the ticket that he gave my daughter, and he said, I like to reward good behavior. It reminds me of that story, Kurt. And it does because it's good people trying to do good things, even though they've been maybe not dealt with right at first. Instead of saying, you know what, that guy's a jerk too, let's make his life bad. In fact, we're going to get out of the restaurant before he does, and we're going to go ahead and just put a ticket on his car or flatten his tire or do something. Okay, this is nothing but good, positive, hopefully making relations a little better. Maybe giving this guy or this couple a little bit of hope in humanity is the way I might say it. A little bit of good cheer, a little random act of kindness, a little bit of pay it forward mentality, a little bit of return good for evil, maybe. Maybe it goes along the line of they ask for your cloak and you give them your coat too. Or maybe it's along the idea of turn the other cheek a little bit, or a soft answer turneth away wrath, biblically stated. I mean, there's a lot of ways to articulate the point here, but I'm bringing it up because I believe that it's a solution. See, that's the thing. I know it doesn't get ratings. I realize it doesn't, like, melt down and make headlines and put Sam Bushman at the, you know, top of the headline or whatever like that. But I know that it makes a difference for society, see? And I don't need my name at the top of the headlines. I don't need to be important. I don't need to gain from scandal. What we need to do is find ways to make the world a little better place, to make society a little softer, a little more gentle, a little more patient, a little more kind, a little more forgiving, a little more loving, a little more respectful, a little more appreciative, a little more, I can keep going. But that's what we need to do on a daily basis as Americans. And that includes black and white and male and female and bond and free and everybody, Democrat, Republican. All of us need to do that. All right, that brings me to the next cop. The mainstream press wanted me to know that he was black, so I know that. don't care to these black, think he sounds like a great guy. Now, Kurt, he's in blue, or he's blue, Kurt. You know what that means?
He's in uniform.
Well, it means he's a cop, yeah.
Yeah.
A cop in uniform.
Uh-huh.
Now, the guy's also black, though, Kurt.
Black and blue?
Yeah. Uh-huh. Now, the headline says black cop, and then I added his name, Jay Stallion.
Yeah.
Weighs complaints about police from fellow blacks with facts. So now you got a black dude in blue, and he wants to deal with his fellow blacks with the facts, Kurt.
Mm-hmm.
Imagine a dude like that.
Imagine
I'm a black dude in blue, and I just want the truth. I just want the facts to roll out, and well, mm-hmm. Probably not even news there, huh? See? Why isn't that news? To me, that's real news. A black Florida police officer is speaking out amid increased tensions between the black community and his brothers in blue. So this guy uniquely can play a role, in my opinion, because he's black, because he wears the blue, and he's trying to help, Kurt. His name is Jay Stallion. He's a law enforcement officer in Palm Beach County, Florida. And I guess the details were revealed on his personal Facebook page that he said, they say it's a shock coming from an African-American. Now, I don't see why it's a shock. The facts are a shock to come from an African-American? I don't think so. I think it's a shock that the mainstream press would let this, you know, come forward in its honesty. Stallion, that's this Jay Stallion, this black police officer wearing blue, recalls hearing and seeing about black-on-black crime. Yeah. He said, it never sat right with me that people from the same race are killing each other. And he felt like there was a role for him to play in that healing, Kurt.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I wanted to help my community. I wanted to stop watching the blood of African Americans spilled on the streets at the hand of a fellow black man. He wrote, he said, I became a cop because black lives in my community, along with all lives, matter to me. And I wanted to do my part. I want to help stop the bloodshed. That's why I became a police officer, Kurt, says Jay Stallion. Stallion went on to contrast several complaints from black protesters dealing with facts about black people dying as a result of violence. So this black cop wants to deal with the facts here about who's dying, how, by who, for what reason, and then maybe make a difference, Kurt, because all lives matter.
Yeah.
Right on, Jay. Hang tight. Details in seconds.
Proclaiming liberty across the land. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
With news this hour from LibertyNewsDaily.com, I'm William Grigg. Micah X. Johnson, the identified murderer of five Dallas police officers, was killed by a bomb-bearing robot deployed by a SWAT team. During the August 1992 standoff in Ruby Ridge, Idaho, FBI paramilitary officers sent a robot to the front door of the Randy Weaver home carrying both a telephone and a shotgun. Negotiators tried to persuade Weaver to pick up the phone, but he declined the invitation out of fear that the remotely operated shotgun would be used against him. 5 years ago, the Nelson County, North Dakota Sheriff's Office, in coordination with the Department of Homeland Security, used two Predator B drones to help carry out the arrest of three men accused of assaulting sheriff's deputies. The Predators were used for aerial reconnaissance of the farm belonging to Rodney Brossart, who had gotten into a dispute with a neighbor over stray cattle. Sean Bielot, of Endeavor Robotics approved of the lethal strike carried out by a robot in Dallas. Quote, "A robot was used to keep people out of harm's way in an extreme situation. That's how robots are intended to be used." Oxford University ethicist Heather Roth observes that the militarization of police capabilities means that they may now feel that it is reasonable to use robotics to ensure compliance. You are listening to LibertyNewsDaily.com. In other news, populist movements in Europe and the United States are following a recipe for isolation, for failure, and for less prosperity, insisted Cecilia Malmström, EU Commissioner for Trade, in remarks at the EU's annual summit with China. For commentary and insights on a troubled world, visit Joel Skousen's worldaffairsbrief.com. For LibertyNewsDaily.com, I'm William Grigg.
Attention Liberty News Radio listeners. Hard-hitting talk radio has never been and never will be supported by the mainstream in America. Hard-hitting talk radio is taking on the mainstream press like never before. News the networks refuse to use is one of the best ways to educate people. We invite all liberty-loving Americans to join with us to restore the principles of our founding fathers and promote God, family, and country in the media and our lives. Please help spread the Liberty message with your generous donation. You can go online at libertynewsradio.com right now and make a donation online. Or call 801-756-9133 and make a donation over the phone. That's libertynewsradio.com and 801-756-9133. Make a donation today. Begging politicians, bureaucrats, and educrats, and all do-gooders to please obey the supreme law of the land, the Constitution. This is Liberty Roundtable.
So this Jace Daly, and Curtis, a black police officer wearing blue. He became a cop because he's like, hey man, I see black people killing black people all the time, and you know what? Black lives matter, but all lives matter. And I don't like anybody dying. And I want to be pro-life, and so I became a cop to try to make things better. And now he, on his Facebook page, has the chance to speak out personally on this. And, well, here's the incredible part about this, Kurt. He wants to deal with the facts, Kurt. Now, I know that sounds crazy. The guy's incredibly educated, it sounds like to me. I don't even know him. I agree with him because he's absolutely right. I don't know if he's a Republican or a Democrat. I don't know if he's married or not, and if he is, if he's married to a black person or a white person. See, I don't care about all that stuff. What I care about is Jay Stallion wants the facts, Kurt, and has a pro-life viewpoint, which I absolutely support and agree with. You I don't want blacks killing blacks. I don't want whites stallion. Killing whites. Oh, is that what it is?
Well, I'm just saying Stallion, you know, I mean, it kind of fits more. To call him Stallion, at least I don't know for sure. If it's S-T-A-L, just one L, then it would be Stallion, like you say. But I'm just
it's
wondering
S-T-A-L
if it's one of those.
I-E-N.
Yeah, yeah. So then it would
I think
be
it's
that.
Stallion,
but
you know?
I'm just saying, you know how you always say there's these phrases where you get the one word, you know,
yeah,
the
good
name
point.
That kind of fits.
That's a great point. Yeah. So Jake Stallion, or Jay Stallion, is a stallion for liberty and pro-life and truth and honorable. Honor, yeah. In my opinion. And Kurt's right as rain on this. Okay, now this black Florida police officer speaking out amid increased tension. See, why the increased tension, huh? Jay's doing his best to reverse that, and I support Jay. I don't even know the guy, but he's right. Mm-hmm. Now, he points out some facts here, Kurt, that'll shock you. Mm-hmm. You already know them, but he brings the facts to us. Here it is. Jay wisely points out that while some have focused on the number of blacks who have been killed by the police in recent years, believe it or not, the number of whites that have been killed by the police is actually higher, according to FBI data.
Yeah.
Fetching Jay and them facts. Now, how are we going to report the bleed leads divide and conquer idea? With that stuff going on. black and white people agreeing on the facts from the FBI. I mean, come on. Yeah. See, okay, more white people have died at the hands of cops than black people. It's not a racial discussion at all. Now, our buddy, David A. Clark Jr., points this out, and so does Jay Stallion. It's really Jay Stallion, but he is a stallion for liberty.
Yeah.
Now, listen, he also challenged the bogus claim that blacks are targeted by police and that more blacks get arrested than whites, Kurt.
Yeah.
It isn't true.
Good point.
Now, here's what Jay says. I know this sounds really crazy, Kurt. You probably have a hard time following Jay's logic here.
Mm-hmm.
But here it goes. Let me just let it rip.
Yeah.
Fact. A city where the majority of people are black, Baltimore, for example, they're always going to have a higher rate of black people getting arrested.
Imagine that.
You'll always have a higher rate of blacks getting stopped.
Mm-hmm.
And, Kurt, you'll always have a higher rate of blacks getting killed, too. Now, by the way, just so you know, if you go to Puerto Rico,
you're going to have a higher rate of Latinos.
Yeah, it's his exact point.
Those guys are amazing with this math stuff.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I'm telling you, it's crazy.
Yeah.
Jay says, by the way, it's called demographics.
Mm. Wow.
BT dub, it's called
demographics. Yeah.
See, Jay's absolutely right.
That's funny.
As for the complaint that more black people get arrested than white people, Stallion, or the Stallion guy, says, hey, man, you know what? Black people commit more crimes, Kurt. It's a fact. And therefore, they get arrested more, as they should. Do you think that if the black people commit more crimes that we should arrest more white people?
Oh, yeah, that'll only make it fair if you do that, right?
He says, all of my realizations have come to these conclusions.
Yeah,
he says this. Black lives do not matter to most black people.
Mm-hmm.
Jay Stallion, a black police officer wearing blue, says, I've come to this conclusion. Black people do not care about black lives. Only the lives that make the national news matter to them. Only the lives that are taken at the hands of cops or white people matter to them. The thousands and thousands of lives that have been taken by other blacks do not matter to these people.
Yeah.
I realized that some in the African American community, their ideas of justice is a prosecution of every cop and or every white man that it has killed or is believed to have killed a black man, no matter what the truth is or the circumstances that are involved. I realize that the African-American community are unwilling to look within their communities to solve the problems they face. Wow, Kurt. Instead, they make excuses and look outside for every solution.
Sounds like a Sheriff David A. Clark. They're going to have to hang out, but they're not going to give this guy coverage like they would a Jesse Jackson.
I realize that a lot of the people in the black communities lead with hate rather than love.
Yeah,
I realize that the very reasons that I became a cop are the very reasons that my very own people hate me. And now in this toxic, racially charged political climate, I am now more likely to die.
Yep.
And it's still impossible for me to understand to this very day, Jay says.
Good point.
Buddy, I'm telling you right now, I want to sit down to dinner with Jay.
Mm-hmm.
I'll buy him dinner. Run around by the cops dinner, you know? All I'm telling you is Jay's right as rain, Kurt. This is not a black-white issue. This is not a law enforcement officer evil issue. Yes, the law enforcement officers have been trained to think that the citizens are the enemy. But the citizens are being trained to think the cops are the enemy.
Yep.
The blacks are trained to think that the whites are the enemy. And the whites are trained to think that they got to make every excuse for the black under the sun.
One guy said, love one another as I have loved you.
Ooh. Oh. Oh. Man. What if we just took that advice, Kurt?
Imagine that.
What if we just followed the Prince of Peace and said, man? What if we were to be like Jay, Kurt?
Mm-hmm.
And say, all lives matter, and I'm here to try to make things better. And now here's the deal. If I was black, I could say this. Because I'm white, I can't. In fact, Sean Bergen, my white buddy, said this and got fired from a well-known news service in New York.
Yep.
What we need is, as Jay says, we need the black community to look within itself.
Uh-huh.
Take personal responsibility. Right?
Yeah.
And look within their own communities for solutions. And here's where it starts, in my opinion, Kurt. Mm-hmm. Society will never be stronger than its families.
Imagine that.
So what you got to do is find a man and a woman that actually love each other and then decide they want to have a commitment to one another.
Yeah.
And through that selfless...
Marriage?
Yeah.
Wow.
Heck yeah.
That kind of stuff. Hmm.
Through that selfless commitment, Kurt, they could work together in love to care for one another and to invite God's children into their home and to
work together
and teach them and raise
them. Man
and
woman and children too?
Yeah, absolutely.
Woo.
And they can live together and love together and laugh together and pray together and stay together and the whole bit, man.
Whoa. Boy.
Now, see, I'm a white guy and I can't say that because it just means that I think blacks are like beneath me somehow.
Yeah.
I don't believe any of that, but that's the lie.
Mm-hmm.
The mainstream press will take that all the way to the bank. They can't fire me, though. All I'm telling you, though, is that, you know what? That's where we need to start, and I don't care what color. By the way, let me just stop and say, if you go to Puerto Rico, Kurt, let me tell you what the Puerto Ricans need to do. Press rewind and play back what I just said.
Same thing wherever you live.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For all peoples, Kurt. You know what? White people need to do that, too.
Yes, they do.
Dang right, some whites need to get on the bandwagon, too.
Imagine that.
The uneducated, Kurt.
Yeah.
Need to do that too.
The really smart ones.
The really educated
ones.
They need to do that too. Yes, sir.
Yeah.
That's right.
Good point.
And if we all started looking at things that way and saying, how can we lead with love, lead with kindness, lead with solutions, lead with examples? You can study anywhere in history you want to, and you'll find that families where there's a mother and a father, it's the most healthy environment for women and children that you can create. Period. Bar none, the facts. Thanks, Jay. We're grateful for somebody with some common sense. We'll be back, you, my brother.
As the United States boldly stepped forward in the glorious light provided by its new Constitution in 1787, the nations of the earth were in awe of the newfound strength and hope of this free land. Today, the nation stands at a crossroads, a divergence from the original intent put forth in the United States Constitution has brought grave threats to our beloved nation. A miracle is needed if the United States is to survive. That miracle is again the pure application of the United States Constitution. I'm Scott Bradley. In my To Preserve the Nation book and lecture series, I bring forth truths that will help raise up a new generation of statesmen like those noble Americans who founded this land. Vigorous application of these principles will invigorate and restore the nation. And we may become again the freest, most prosperous, most respected, and happiest nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com to begin that restoration.
Attention Liberty News Radio listeners. Hard-hitting talk radio has never been and never will be supported by the mainstream in America. Hard-hitting talk radio is taking on the mainstream press like never before. News the networks refuse to use is one of the best ways to educate people. We invite all liberty-loving Americans to join with us to restore the principles of our founding fathers and promote God, family, and country in the media and our lives. Please help spread the liberty message with your generous donation. You can go online at libertynewsradio.com right now and make a donation online. Or call 801-756-9133 and make a donation over the phone. That's libertynewsradio.com and 801-756-9133. Make a donation today.
If you're at all like me, you have a tough time remembering appointments and events. But ladies and gentlemen, I have the answer. It's a premier service on the internet called Memo to Me. It's free. You ought to try it. Now I never miss the honey-do items for my wife or the important business meetings. They have strict privacy protection. That means they will release your email address to no one ever. You will not get spammed because of Memo to Me. Unmatched dependability. Ladies and gentlemen, these folks have been around since 1998, and they are absolutely up online all the time to send you your reminders and appointments. They have rock-solid reliability. They have 5 redundant internet connections, diesel-powered generators backing up the system. I'm telling you, Memo to Me is the premier reminder service on the internet. It's free. You ought to give it a try. And, oh, by the way, if you're not available at your computer to get your email reminders, they can even send a reminder to your cell phone or pager. I use MemoToMe.com daily and highly recommend it to you. MemoToMe.com. Memo to Me.
With news the networks refuse to use. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right, well, you and I are talking about this Jay Stallion guy, or Jay Stallion, as you wisely point out, standing for liberty, standing for everybody realizing the truth. With the facts, Kurt, wanted to be pro-life and protect everybody as a police officer. While you and I are talking about that, the mainstream press is opening up another divide, Kurt.
Well, that's what they do, Sam.
White supremacists are going to be leading at the GOP convention. Black Panthers are coming armed to the teeth. Okay, the next headline they write says this, Kurt. Ex-KKK Grand Wizard David Duke ponders running for Congress. Russia Today has the piece. A bunch of other news services I've seen have the piece also, Kurt. Now, my response is this. David Duke, at one time, was a Grand Wizard in the KKK years and years and years ago. That's true. I don't know David Duke personally well at all. I've talked to him a couple of times in my life over the phone. Never met with him in person. I'm not endorsing him, and I'm also not, attacking him? Jettisoning him? He has basically said that being involved in the KKK was a horrible mistake. The government, the mainstream press, will never let him live it down. Although they'll let communists do that all the time. Van Jones and others run around in all the mainstream press and they're forgiven. They're allowed to change, but not David Duke. See, I reject that notion by the mainstream press. That's bogus. Now, I bring this all up, though, to say David Duke has done plenty of other things. I think he served in Congress, Kurt. I think he's done many other things in his life. Why do we talk about ex-KKK this, that? Why don't we say former congressman or ponders running for Congress or something else? Anyway, I find it fascinating. He's served in a variety of capacities, but it's interesting that they just yanked that one out of whatever. Anyway, I find that interesting. Maybe you can look that up. Maybe you can look that up real quick. Look up David Duke in Wikipedia or something like that. I think he served in Congress or he was a state congressman. He was something, though. And the problem is I just don't have this at my fingertips. But I bring this story up because while you and I are talking about how black people and white people are working together on the facts trying to heal America and promote pro-life, and while you and I are talking about how, man, there's a divide here, but these cops bought this couple dinner in an effort to make things better, and we're talking about all these awesome, cool stories about good people doing good things and everything, then these guys are running around opening up another divide.
Yeah, I guess he's currently a member of the Louisiana House of Representatives from the 81st District, they say, there in Louisiana. Let's see.
Is it current, though? I didn't remember that it was current, but okay.
Well, that's what it says on here. Let's see.
Maybe it was state Congress then that I'm thinking of, you know. Anyway, it doesn't matter. The point is, rather than referring to him as, you know, talk show host, which he is as well, whether referring to him as a state rep or whatever, or any of the other things that he's done in life, we're going to go back like 40 years ago or some crazy thing going, oh, man, Grand Wizard of the KKK. It's like, are you kidding me?
They say he was members of the following political parties: American Nazi Party, Democratic, Populist, Republican, and Reform Party.
So, all right. There you go. He's an equal opportunity. Anyway, all I'm trying to get across, though, is really, really, they're going to say Grand Wizard? I mean, it's crazy. And I don't know why they don't try to heal. But everybody's interviewing David Duke now, and here's the deal. If I interview him, Kurt, then what they'll say is, see, I'm a racist with David Duke. But the mainstream press, they're interviewing him all over the place, Kurt. They're cool. They can do that. But they're going to, you know, do stuff like this. Are you going to wear your cape to Congress every day? I mean, this is crazy. David Duke, ladies and gentlemen, agree or disagree with him. I know this sounds crazy, Kurt, but he's an American. And as an American, Kurt, in my humble opinion, he's entitled to his own views and thoughts and rights without abuse and attack.
And now they say on the Wikipedia page for him, says that he joined the Reform Party in 99 while working for Pat Buchanan's 2000 presidential campaign. Because of the direction of Duke and Buchanan's political views, it drove Donald Trump to drop out of the election. Says Duke and Buchanan would both leave the party after the election. It's ambiguous what party Duke is in now.
Well, and when they say leave the party, I don't know what they mean. Leave what party? The Reform Party?
Yeah.
Is the Reform Party still in existence, Kurt?
Not that I know.
So I'm not sure that they left the party as much as the party left them, but okay. All I'm telling you is I just find that interesting. Why are we really going to go back to the Grand Wizard? See, they're doing this ahead of the election then to tie Donald to David Duke and to do this and that. Pretty soon they're going to ask Donald about it, and pretty soon, you know, Donald might be picking David Duke as his VP pick, and they're just going to go crazy on this. And there's no value but divide in it that I can see, Kurt.
I guess they say that in 2015, it was reported that Duke had endorsed Donald Trump for president. So that's, like you say, they want to tie those two together, right?
I just don't really see the big deal, personally.
Well, then they can
What's wrong with him running for Congress?
Donald Trump is, basically a Ku Klux Klan supporter.
But he's not, Kurt.
I know, but, you know, since when is the media honest?
Well, my buddy Jay Stalian wants the facts, Kurt.
Yes, he does. Good point.
So do I.
Yeah.
And like I said, I'm not here to endorse David Duke. I'm also here not to reject David. I don't even know the guy. But I will say this. You know, if he promotes slavery, I would disagree with him. If he says I was wrong and I made a mistake being involved in the KKK, and it was years and years and years ago, and I'm sorry about it, and I don't think that's the way we ought to advocate for, but I do believe the white people should be able to advocate for their cause.
I guess he's formed what's called the National Association for the Advancement of White People.
Well, he should.
I didn't even know there was that.
Of course there is.
I thought there's the NAACP.
Yeah, but now Trump won't meet with the NAACP, Kurt. They asked Trump to meet with him, and he said, uh-uh. Not going to do it.
Yeah. NAAWP.
Yeah, so again, this is the point, though. Here's the question. Can I be decent and honest and right to someone, Kurt, and kind and gentle and appropriate, without agreeing with everything they say, believe, think, and have done?
I think you should be able to.
And that's the whole point. Yeah. It doesn't seem like you can. So if I'm kind to David Duke, and I reject maybe some of his past decisions is quite foolish. Yeah. But that I say, you know what, he's an American, and I have no reason to throw him overboard or be rude to him or disavow him or do anything else negative. Okay. They want to tell you that somehow I endorsed him. I didn't know such thing. I'm just telling you I'm not going to throw hostilities out to these people. Okay, I'm going to do my best to find a way to make things better. You know, I mean, we could set up like reality TV scenarios. What would David Duke do if he found himself in line behind a black person? What would happen? By the way, I bet that's happened a million times, Kurt. See?
Yep.
They want to make you believe that there's this boogeyman divide in America, ladies and gentlemen, that somehow everybody is on a crazy bender to harm everybody else. And I'm not telling you there's not bad people in the world. No question there are. But I am telling you that most people are good people, and most people aren't as hostile and as angry and as enemy-driven as you think. And I think that there are ways to bring about healing, ways to bring about solutions, Okay, and it starts with being kind to people and being decent with the facts. And I would not write a headline that says ex-KKK Grand Wizard like Russia Today has written. I would write this, Kurt. You ready for what I would write?
Yep.
David Duke ponders running for Congress.
Yeah.
You know? Or I might say David Duke, state rep, has national aspirations and considers running for Congress. I might say something like that. Now, let's say that I were to write a headline, Kurt. Let's just say that it was Jesse Jackson. Let's say that Jesse was going to run for Congress. What I could say is, you know, Louis Farrakhan supporting Black Panther back and whatever runs for, or I could just say Jesse Jackson is considering running for Congress. I find it sad. Very sad of what we want to focus on. Of what we end up focusing on in America today. There's ways to provide healing, not division. All right, Kurt, you have a headline. I want you to provide a teaser today. The reason that I didn't drill into it 2 or 3 minutes ago is because you won't have enough time to really break it down, and I want to break it down. I want to really get into this story. So do the teaser. It's the Jerome Corsi piece you just sent me, and then we'll drill into it tomorrow in greater detail. It's worth our discussion, sir.
Well, you know, you mentioned how the Republican Party's got their plank things, you know. That means basically they have their platform. In other words, their list of things that they say they stand for. Well, somebody wants to put a part of the plank in there that says that they should declassify 28 pages of the 9/11 report. And they say it was all voted down, and they don't want you to see it now.
Why not?
That's how that transparency thing works, I guess, Sam.
Kurt, I want to see it.
Yeah, I know. Imagine you want honesty in government?
Well, me and Jay.
What's up with that? Yeah, Mr. Stallion.
Me and Jay Stallion want the... I just want
That's
the facts.
Right.
I mean, why can't we just let the facts roll, and whatever they are, and we deal with them?
Yeah, I mean, imagine that.
We might actually restore trust in government if we did that, Kurt.
Well,
it'd be phenomenal.
I guess that would be a problem, yeah.
I heard that. All right, ladies and gentlemen, I'm sure hoping Donald lets me win. This nation shall endure.